Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
With that, let's bring in one of the absolute best in the business, Brad Nessler, who will have the Penn State-Auburn game on Saturday. Brad, great to have you with us. How you been?
I'm good, man. It was good to hear Steve. Good to hear John Sterling on a call. He likes to judge home runs a little bit.
Yeah, he's got all sorts of calls when it comes to Aaron Judge.
John's been doing it 100 years, longer than you and I.
I know. I remember when John was doing the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, he did the Braves, too. So, and then he went to the Yankees, and he's been up there ever since.
Amazing. So one place I've never been. I've never been to Auburn. So what is it like doing a game in that atmosphere in Auburn, Alabama?
It's pretty cool, man. It's going to be good to see in person, by the way.
Same here.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you're used to 110,000 people, and Happy Valley is as loud and as crazy as any place. I think maybe the temperature and the humidity might get to everybody a little bit differently than if you were in Happy Valley, but I thought we were going to have just beautiful weather. But I think it's going to warm up to probably 87 or so, maybe 88. And it's been really nice the last couple of days down in this part of the country. But I think it's going to be a little steamy probably for the game on Saturday. But great atmosphere, you know, when they go out and the War Eagle flies at the beginning of the game before the national anthem and all that. It just kind of sets the scene. But, you know, you'll enjoy it, but you've been in just as big a stadiums and just as rowdy of places as you'll see on Saturday.
All right, now, no question, which then brings up next year will be a split year with the SEC and the Big Ten. How excited are you to get the Big Ten back in the mix and then eventually, obviously, the SEC will fall by the wayside, but what's your thought on that?
You know what? I haven't really put a lot of thought into it. I guess explaining it to my family, explaining it to my friends, from that standpoint, you know, I've had to talk about it, but I know the first 2 weeks of the season next year, when we normally wouldn't even be working, maybe I'll be doing Big Ten games, and then some other ones mixed in there, you know. And so from that standpoint, it'll be kind of fun. I mean, you know, Gary and I kind of came up the ranks in the Big Ten when we were at ESPN when we were together the first time, and so getting back to some of those locales will be a lot of fun. Got a lot of friends still in those places. You know, basically all our family, for the most part, is still in the Midwest and in the Big Ten. So I might have more of my nieces and nephews watching than I do normally on a Saturday because they'll pay more attention to the old uncle when he's up in that part of the woods.
What kind of, I mean, you've gone through the video so far. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to the coaches yet. But we'll start with Penn State, then I'll go to Auburn. What read do you have on Penn State first?
First of all, you know, I know everybody's excited about the freshman quarterback, and he's really fun to watch and everything. But I thought Sean Clifford played as good as you can play last week, really, against Ohio. I mean, he might have had a sack or two and maybe a read or two, you know, that he would like to have back. But I think he's been really good. And, you know, when you got a guy that's been around 6 years, that's a solid. That's like having a great point guard in basketball. I thought he's played really, really well. The young guys, I mean, I know you've got to be psyched about it because, you know, you haven't had a running back like that probably since Saquon. You know, Nicholas Singleton looks like the real deal. I can't wait to see him in person. It's just from watching the film the last week. He's something special. You know, when you hear about five-star guys and number one recruits and top recruit and Gatorade player of the year, all that stuff, that's great until you get out and you start playing somebody. And for him to do what he's done, you know, in the first couple of weeks, just from the first snap against Purdue, the first time he got in there, I was like, whoa, maybe this guy's everything that everybody's been talking about. And after watching the game, I think he is. So that's going to be cool to watch him play. And, you know, I think Tinsley, the guy that transferred in, really good receiver. And they just look solid. You know, Penn State looked fast on defense to me, too. So, I think it'll be a great matchup. You know, SEC, Big Ten, if it's anything like last year's game that you guys had up there, it'll be great.
Yeah, that was quite a game between the two. So now I'll flip the page. Auburn's played Mercer and San Jose State to this point. What kind of read do you have on them at this stage after two games?
I don't think they're very good. They're 2-0, though. They'll take that. You know, I got a lot of friends down in this part of the country that are Auburn fans, and when I saw some of them on Sunday when we were watching NFL games together, they were not a happy group. But, you know, nobody in the SEC is ever happy, I guess. You can be 7-0, yeah, and they've got something right to complain about, you know. Yeah, they're just inconsistent. I don't like the – I'm not nuts about the two-quarterback rotating system. Now, it's different for Penn State. They got an opportunity to play three, and that's because they were ahead, and you know, everybody had a chance, and everybody – all of them played really well. That's different than going every other play or – you know, if it's going to be a pass, let's leave T.J. Finley in there. If we're going to run it, let's go with, you know, Robbie Ashford. I'm not nuts about that whole system of running guys in and out on the same series. So that's just me. So, you know, Brian Harsin's got a plan, and I kind of think in their case they use two quarterbacks because they aren't comfortable with either one of them. So, you know, the old adage about if you're playing two quarterbacks, that right means you don't have one. So I don't know if right that's the case or not. But that's the way they played so far, Steve, I think. And just inconsistent and, you know, bad throws, bad interceptions. Their passing attack is not where they want it. I know that. But, you know, they did a good job of running the football and kind of getting back to what they can do with Tank Bigsby. And in doing that, you know, they got back in the game and subsequently won last week. But they could have easily lost that game. They should have been down 14 to whatever at halftime. Crowd, there was a situation where you said, what's the atmosphere like? The crowd cost San Jose State one of their touchdowns in the second quarter, yeah, because, you know, they just kept going backwards. They're down on the 2-foot line, and all of a sudden they're back at the 12 or whatever it was, and it's, you know, third and goal. So from that standpoint, you know, I think that's going to be good to have a guy like Sean running the show, because he's heard noisy crowds before. He's been there and done that.
Right, exactly. Bigsby and Hunter. Now, obviously, I've only seen them once in person. That was here. You've seen them multiple times, including the game with Alabama last year. What kind of attack did they give Auburn when the two of them were in gear?
Tank's really good, and Hunter's a little bit different. You know, Tank, I don't think he's it's really Cartavious. You know, he used to be, yeah, built like a tank. I think he's actually lost weight. I think he wanted to get faster. And Hunter is a little shiftier and a little faster. You know, when they really get their offense going and Tank's rolling, they're really good, because then they can do a lot of other things, play action and stuff and get it down the field. But they can't do that if they can't hit people. And that's what they've been – quarterback's been off target, missing guys that are open. Shanker, their tight end, is, you know, pretty good. He catches. He's consistent, right, catches balls. They got some guys that are pretty good on the outside, but Tank's their guy. I mean, when he gets rolling and has one of those 150-yard games, you can be in for a long day sometimes if he gets if he gets lathered up, and that's what they, I think, are going to probably try to do against Penn State. I don't know if they can.
Last week, for example, you know, Fox had this game, but Texas played Alabama. This week, Auburn plays Penn State. So, and I realize, you know, people have to remember, Texas is still in the Big 12. But you get intersectional matchups. They seem like they're a rarer commodity these days. How do you feel about keeping elements like that still alive within the game?
Well, I hope they can, you know. The kickoff classics and that type of thing that Atlanta has, you know, two or three. At least you get major conference Power 5 guys against Power 5 guys, and it's good. And the Alabama-Texas game was a great scene, you know, and it's down there. So, I mean, the ones that are at neutral sites are a little different, because depending on what part of the country you're coming from, it can be really lopsided as far as the fans. And it was lopsided in the Texas-Alabama game, obviously. But I think it's great. And you know, I think most coaches – in the SEC would say, you know, let's play one really good non-conference team and let's play nine conference games, and, you know, the fans will come back. Well, most fans are going to sell out everything anyway, but some places aren't that way because, you know, they go, I don't want to see Mercer necessarily, and Texas A&M won't want to see Appalachian
ever again.
Ever again. I don't know why anybody would ever schedule those guys either home or away. And so,
yeah,
God bless them. It was fun to watch, you know, because I didn't have a game last weekend, and you know, I'm watching ball, and I'm sitting here, and my wife's going back and forth through the family room, and she's going, wow, what's going on? And I said, well, this team just beat this team, and they weren't supposed to. And she said, well, that's good. And I said, well, it's not that good because your husband was supposed to do Texas A&M and Alabama on October 8th, and that kind of messes things up. And she said, and then she saw the coach's interview, and she goes, you got to just enjoy this, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. And I saw the coach after the game, because that was just so cool that kind of stuff can happen. But, you know, good for – maybe not good for some of us, but really good for college football last weekend with Marshall, Notre Dame, and that one.
Yeah.
And Sunbelt had a better outing than just about any conference there was last week.
No question. In fact, Penn State played Appalachian State in the opener in – at 19, 18, whatever it was. And the game went to overtime, Brad. So you do not want to see these people on your schedule.
No, not at all. I mean, you got to be crazy even to do that. Not to mention they take 1.5 million home with them, you know?
Oh, I know. They get 1.5 million and the win.
I mean, you can't beat that. That's a good weekend, man.
Yeah, it's a great weekend, as a matter of fact. That's great. I mean, but again, these are the kind of games that are really good gauge games, especially at the beginning of the season. You've seen, obviously, the SEC up close and personal, week in and week out, various places. What does make the SEC special to you?
I don't want to say it just means more. I hate that slogan.
Me too.
The defensive lines and just the guys on defense, front fours and stuff are just a hair different. I don't think it's any different than the Big Ten is now, but other conferences, you just don't have guys that are, you know, 306 pounds that can run like tailbacks, and there's a whole bunch of those guys in the SEC, and just about every place you go. And I don't know, from the fan standpoint, I don't think it's any better than Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know. I get the same kind of buzz, I think, wherever I do games. It's just that the SEC has a reputation about being better than other conferences as far as the fan experience. I don't think it's any different, really. I think at LSU they drink a little more, maybe, if it's a night game. that's a whole other story.
Great, let's schedule them.
Yeah,
let's
really
have some fun with this thing. Let's do it. I have to. I don't need you to comment on Brian Harsin's offseason. That's a separate entity. But you do have to deal with him. What kind of guy has he been to deal with on your end?
Pretty reserved. I don't think he trusts, at least not us yet, or maybe media in general in the South and in the SEC. And I think when you come from somewhere else, there's a perception that you're never going to be able to recruit, you're never going to be able to win because you're not from here, and that type of thing. And not everybody can be from the South, you know, and end up coaching football in the South or in the SEC. So, I mean, I think he came in feeling like that everybody thinks he's an outsider. And so, in that respect, a little bit reserved. And then he's had just so many different things come up. And, I don't quite know how we're going to deal with it yet. You're right. But coaches leaving, players leaving, rumors about him and his personal life, all that kind of stuff. And then the guy that hired him, you know, resigned 2 weeks ago, Alan Green, who I liked a lot, the athletic director. And so the guy that hired him isn't there. The fans are not crazy about the brand of football. And I think if there's one thing that you find out about Auburn football is, how can I put this, the boosters have a bigger influence at Auburn probably than any place I can think of anywhere in college football, if that makes sense to you. So, you know, the pressure of, you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know if he was going to make it through the summer, and he made it, and now he's off to a 2-0 start, which is great. But this thing can go south in a hurry at Auburn if everything doesn't go right. So, you know, I wish him well, but the guys that have the money and the boosters and the fact that they're still paying Gus Malzahn and they're probably still paying Gene Chizik. I don't know how many guys are still paying. They might be still paying Tommy Tuberville. I don't know. But, you know, those guys got deep pockets and they got a lot of influence. And so that alone is kind of always hanging over your head, especially when your athletic director that hired you isn't around anymore.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, Brad. Really am. Thanks so much for doing this.
You got it, buddy. I'll see you down on the plane.
Sounds great, Brad. Thank you.
All right, Steve.